Welcome to the Dome Patrol Premier League special, Euro 2020 kind of instant reaction show. Not really a post-mortem, we're going to do that a little bit later, but it's Monday afternoon here after Italy beat England on penalties at Wembley to win Euro 2020 that took place in 2021. Just sort of sums up the madness that has been going around recently, and well, hopefully we're on the way back to normal soon. Just me on this podcast. I thought we'd have to get one out. James will be back later to do a, like I said, a full post-mortem of the competition and really what happened last night at Wembley. The good, the bad and the ugly. But yeah, I thought I'd jump on. I think maybe this is for myself, really. This is maybe just a bit of therapy, even though I'm not talking to anyone. So I'm now seeing what Scott has to do on the Tiger's Den podcast and realise actually to go on talking for quite a while by yourself is probably quite a hard job. So, Scott, I take my hat off to you. Right, so initial thoughts on the defeat. It was a perfect start for England. Well, hang on, let's go back to the England lineup. So sort of news broke that Southgate was going to go back to the three at the back or five at the back, however you want to talk it, with the wing-backs coming back in and playing the three centre-halves, Kyle Walker, the right-sided centre-half, and Kieran Trippier coming in to replace Bukayo Saka on the right-hand side and drop him back as a wing-back, and then to continue with the Rice and Phillips pairing in midfield. Mason Mount, Sterling and Kane leading the line. I'll get on to my thoughts on that in a second, really. But yeah, so Gareth changed his formation. So he did this against Germany. But against Germany, it was really matching up what the Germans did. I didn't really feel like this was the best matchup against Italy. I'm not going on here now slagging Gareth Southgate off, saying he got it completely wrong. It's his fault we lost. But this is what Gareth Southgate is. He is a naturally conservative coach, in my opinion. I know other people have different opinions, and it's a shame the way it ended. But there's definitely things we can take forward, and Gareth can take forward into the World Cup, and hopefully we can see progress in the World Cup. I'll get onto that in a little bit. But the game in general, England got off to an absolute blinding start, I thought, and it kind of actually justified Gareth Southgate switching to the formation that he did, really. Oh, sorry, I'm getting distracted. I've got a TV on, it just shows Italy celebrating back in Rome, so a bit difficult to watch, really. Like I said, yeah, he kind of justified his decision to go to a back three, or back five, like I said, with the wing backs, and a perfect start. Trippier with a fantastic ball in, and what a finish by Luke Shaw, who has had an absolute outstanding tournament, I think. I think he's been my real surprise of the tournament, actually, of how good he was. I was always in favour of Ben Chilwell really starting and coming in, but the way Shaw has controlled himself, his passing, his movement, and he really deserved that goal. What was a fantastic finish. You would appraise any striker for that finish. The fact that it comes from a fullback, and what a way to I think it's his first ever England goal. So that's what a way to get it in a final. You know, it's not any final, Euro finals at Wembley. Yeah, I think the whole nation, again, it's so early, 2 minutes, the whole nation was on cloud nine, really. And this is where I really think England then for the next couple of minutes really had Italy by the ropes. And I think you had Italy on the ropes to about the 35th minute, around about that time. I haven't gone back and rewatched it. I have no intention of going back and looking at anything of that game ever again, to be perfectly honest. But I really think we had Italy on the ropes then. I think it was a time where we could have actually gone on and searched and got the second. This is once again comes into perhaps the conservative side of the England setup. As I said, I know that people will have different opinions on that. But I really think we should have got on the front foot a little bit more. Italy were there for the taking. They weren't comfortable. They couldn't deal with Shaw. They couldn't deal with Trippier on that on the other side. And it was going well. It was going really well. We didn't really we controlled the game, but we didn't really carve out too many goal scoring opportunities. And that is one thing. Everyone says Italy were the best team. The best team deserved to win. Yes, they probably were, on the day they were the best team, and they did deserve to win. Absolutely. But I think we let them be the first team. In 120 minutes of football, only having two shots on goal, it's not going to win you a major final against Italy. Considering they had six shots on goal, well, 19 attempts in total, and they had six on target, and we had six shots on at goal and only two on target, and one of those was the goal. Italy dominated possession with 65% to our 35, and it was just really, I think we, after the little break in play, I think there was an injury, and then Mancini got the Italians all round, and he must have changed a few things, and Italy then dominated from there on. The possession stats say it all, and they know how to, some say it's gamesmanship, but they know how to win a game, the Italians. They are a master in the dark arts. We saw that with they've got five yellow cards compared to England's one. And end of the day, no one's going to look at that and say, oh, the way the Italians won it, the fact that they won it and they found a winning formula. And yeah, fair enough, hats on to them, off to them. But I still think that was that first 35 minutes, they were really there for the taking. And if we wanted to put a bit more pressure onto them and get the ball into the box, we could have really caused some trouble. And the data doesn't lie, really, with Bonucci and Chiellini. Yes, they are great centre halves, but actually, aerial battles, if you look at the data, they aren't the best. They aren't the best aerially, and we didn't really, apart from the Trippier ball, really put for the Shaw goal. We didn't really put the ball in the box too much. And when you've got an absolute monster like Harry Kane up there, who, unfortunately, looking back, he had one touch in the opposition's 18-yard box. Your centre forward had one touch in the opposition's 18-yard box. And I'm not blaming Harry Kane for that. I mean, I'm not going to get accused of being an Arsenal fan here and just going off on Harry Kane. I'm not gonna blame Harry Kane for that. But where I think it lies, I think it lies with the setup of the team. I think there was a clear weakness on the Italian defence, and that was of Emerson. I spoke about it in the previous show, and he's the third choice left back for him. Chelsea fans will tell you how poor he actually is, and they can't wait to get rid of him. And I don't get why we didn't overload the Italians' left hand side. I don't know, Sterling was out there, but we didn't really seem to overload it. We couldn't feed the ball through to him to then get it into the box to Kane. It was very disjointed. Rice and Phillips is they have been very good all competition. I said at the start, I still think it's one or the other going forward. Like I said, we've got a year and a half to the World Cup now, so I'm hoping that England can build on that. And the way they can build on that is, I think, by, I wouldn't say break that partnership up, but I think I would say break that partnership up. But not because any of them are a bad player. I just think they just need a different type of player. I think they're both holders, let's be honest. They're both holders. I thought Declan Rice was absolutely fantastic last night, by the way. But I think that we've got a very young, talented central midfielder who plays for Borussia Dortmund called Jude Bellingham. He is only, I think, 18 years of age. I think he turned 18 during the Euro. So he is extremely young and raw. But the talent there is unquestionable. There's a reason he's already in the England squad at that age. And I think that is someone we can really harness and into the central midfield, and he can play. The best progressor of the game was Harry Maguire, and that's a problem when your centre half is your best progressor through the middle of the park for you. And that's a sort of role that Bellingham will take. He will take the ball on and he will drive. And too many times we saw Maguire having to do that because Phillips and Rice, they play too square. They don't play on the half turn enough for me to get the boys up the further field. That's why Saka came in for the Czech Republic game, because he dropped back into midfield and took the ball in the half turn and brought England up the field. So I'd like to see that going forward, really. And yeah, the next guy I really think has had a shocking Euros. Mason Mount. I really don't get the point of view at the moment, especially in this England team. You might say, yeah, Chelsea won the European Cup. Okay, cool. But I really don't see Mason Mount fitting into this England team. I don't get how Gareth Southgate kept picking him. I thought he was missing in the Denmark game. I thought he went missing in the final big time. And that was why we had such a big disconnect between the midfield and up to Kane, because your playmaker, you should have a connection with your striker, and there was nothing. And he stayed on the pitch far too long. And luckily, he finally got subbed. But I think it was a bit too late. The Italians already had a foot in the game. And going forward, I would really like to see Mason Mount taken out of this team and then give that role of the creator to Grealish or to Phil Foden going forward. Not saying, you know, keep Mount in the squad. He can be a fantastic player. But I just really, yeah, really, really disappointed on Mason Mount for this Euros. I didn't think he was that good at all, to be fair. And yeah, a real disappointment. So Italy equalised, I think it was like the 63rd minute or so. Scrappy goal. Can't really complain too much. Their biggest threat was going to be set pieces or Chiesa. Italy have really shared the goals out in this competition, so you knew something like a set piece could be the undoing of England, and unfortunately it was the case. And the Italians pulled it back 1-1, and I just had a gut feeling from when Bonucci scored in the 67th minute that it was going to be very hard for England to muster themselves. I think Gareth Southgate left the substitutions a little bit too late, in my opinion. Once again, I think he was just a little bit too conservative, and that is my problem with Southgate as a manager in total, is that he's too conservative. He needs to kind of let the handbrake off of this team and let the young, exciting, attacking players really just go for it. Because I think if the handbrake got let off in that first half an hour, we could have been 2-0 very easily. And then you go and make your conservative changes later on. Personally, that is what I would do. But, you know, I'm not paid millions to be a football coach, and there's probably a reason for that. But no, I would 100% stick with Gareth Southgate saying that going on forward. I think he deserves to have another shot at another tournament, and hopefully he just learns his lessons from this tournament. And we can see, using the qualifying group that we've got for the World Cup, what should be fairly straightforward. We've already won 3 games, I think, of it already. Use that time to embed people like Bellingham into the team. Go get, because we didn't really know what England's best team was going into this competition. Yeah, let's get a best team. Let's get these boys used to playing a certain way of each other. And let's just give, we've got one of the best strikers in the world. Let's just give him some service in the box. Let's just give him some service. So, extra time happened. I thought Italy really continued to dominate extra time, really, in the first half of extra time. It's the same as the second half. But that's, you know, that's football for you. It comes in moments, and you've got to take your moments. And we then had another spell, I thought, in the second half. I thought we looked a little bit threatening. Obviously, still didn't get many shots away, but I still thought we looked quite threatening in that second spell. Unfortunately, we just couldn't do it. And then Gareth Southgate makes the decision to bring on Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford to take penalties. A decision I completely agree with. You want to bring your best penalty takers on, and that's what he did. And people, I see people say to him saying, how can you just expect someone to go on and take for 30 seconds of a game and then go up and take a penalty? It happens in football all the time in penalty shootouts. You see it all the time. You bring your forwards on to take the penalties. You've trained for ages. You know what is coming, and then you bring the players on. They should hopefully do the job for you, but it's potluck. Once again, penalties. It's a horrible way to decide football, and that is what happens. And we had a brief moment of joy when Belotti, I think it was Belotti, missed his penalty. And then, I can't remember the penalty all off the top of my head. Like, so I've only seen it the once live. I haven't gone back and looked at it again. Jordan Pickford made an amazing save. Then I think it was Marcus Rashford who missed first for England. And I'd say it's a shame that it's the three substitutes that came on in the game had to miss the penalties, and that... You know, people then will go and look at the manager for that. But I completely agree with all three subs coming on. Maybe not the last penalty taker I agree with being a penalty taker. But we'll get into that when I get round to it. So he missed. Rashford hit the post. It's annoying, especially as a penalty. You really, really just hope for someone to hit the target. Marcus Rashford has been incredible this whole year and a half of the pandemic, with what he's done in the community and how he's really fought against injustice and helping kids achieve having free school meals for the kids who really do need it, and really held the government to account. So it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, really. Mark, you know, this was the kind of fairy tale where you think Rashford scores his penalty and it just continues what has been an incredible year for him. But unfortunately, the footballing gods are extremely cruel, and hit the post. What, he'll be disappointed because he sent the keeper the wrong way. Hit the post. Yeah, you just got to hit the target. It's just painful to say, but with penalties, you can excuse missing if the keeper's gone the judge guessed the right way and got a hand to it. And let's do the rumour in the Italian goal. He's an absolute mammoth of a goalkeeper. If you look at him compared to Jordan Pickford, he's huge. He is absolutely huge. So, yeah, it's a bit unlucky. And then, to be fair, I can't remember. I went out of the room. I couldn't bear watching it, to be fair. And then they scored again, and then Jadon Sancho then came up, the next man that was brought on for penalties. I don't know what his penalty record's like in the Bundesliga. I don't really watch too much Bundesliga football. But his was saved by Duderuma, what meant Jorginho then just had to go and score for Italy to end the game. And Jordan Pickford pulled out another incredible save that kind of gave England a little glimmer of hope. Looking back on what I know now, I really wish Jorginho just tucked that away, and then that could have been that. But no, Pickford made a fantastic save, got England semi back into it. Bukayo Saka would have to score, and then Pickford would have to have saved again. But unfortunately, young Bukayo Saka, I absolutely adore the kid. He's 19 years old. He's just been a real breath of fresh air. I'm glad as an Arsenal fan we can actually share Bukayo Saka now with the rest of England, who now know what we've been banging on about for so long, about how good this kid is, how brave this kid is. You know, 19 years old, stepping up in one of your country's biggest moments, the biggest moment in 55 years, at 19 years old to step up, it just shows the kind of guy Bukayo Saka is. And unfortunately, it wasn't the greatest penalty. It was on target, but Donnarumma guessed the right way, and Italy end up winning on penalties. But Bukayo Saka has been a brilliant, outstanding player this tournament, and one that many people actually said he shouldn't be in the squad. He shouldn't be in this comp. He's not good enough to be in this team, and he's just proven them all wrong. That he is definitely going to be a big part of England's future, building to the next World Cup and future tournaments as well. Like I said, he's only 19, so he's got a long, promising career in front of him. Can a penalty miss like that set back these guys like Sancho, Rashford, and Saka? I can't personally speak for Rashford and Sancho, because I don't know them too much as players. But for Bukayo Saka, I know this will not define who he is. The way he conducts himself, his attitude, I generally think he is he will bounce back from this stronger. It will make him a better player. Well, it's only good for Arsenal and England if he's going to become a better player. And I probably think the same, knowing how Sancho took himself out of his comfort zone and went out to Dortmund, and the mental resilience that he has, I fully expect these guys to be bouncing back even stronger. I think the way the England public have also put their arm around these guys, I'll get to the horrible stuff in a minute, but I think we realised what we did with Gareth Southgate in 96 and how he was a villain for so long, and the adverts and the mockery, and we just made people fear playing for their country, and that's probably what sent us down to a horrible spiral of penalties and not doing well in competitions because the players were scared. Where now I think as a country, if we really get behind these guys that are missing, I'm pretty sure we will, to be fair, looking at some of the reaction on social media, I've seen City fans, Liverpool fans, you know, putting their arms around Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford and just saying, look, you know, we might be club rivals, but we respect you, we love you. Thank you so much for being brave enough to step up and take a penalty. Same with Tottenham and Chelsea fans, with Bukayo Saka. It's just wonderful to see. And I think as a nation, we've learned and we've grown a little bit. And I hope really, yeah, I don't think this will, I said on the semi-final show, I don't think this will be the last major final that some of these players play in. Since Gareth Southgate's been manager, we've gone to a semis, then we've broken that spell of getting to a semis, then we've finally broken the spell of getting to a final. Only one more hurdle to do it, and there's no better stage to do it and then the World Cup in Qatar coming up next year, and I really, really hope they can do it. This is a difficult bit now because it really has put a downer on what was a fantastic tournament, and we loved it, we loved every minute of it, and it was the racial abuse from around the world, not just England but from around the world, that the three young lads who missed penalties received online. And it does surprise me really that people find, I don't get how they find colour of skin to be a privilege. You know, we're all one human race at the end of the day. It just completely baffles me. And the fact that social media companies let these users get away with it and have these posts up for so long, there's really got to be something done to stop this with social media companies, whether it's, you know, verified ID when you set up any social media accounts, and you can be tracked down and prosecuted, and then hopefully tougher sentencing to stamp out this hate, because it's not needed. These guys have just been celebrated for the last month, and will be continued to be celebrated, and it's a very, very, very small, minute select section of the world population that feel like they have to go out and racially abuse someone because they missed a penalty. And It makes me sick. It just shows how bad society is in some places still. But I really hope that we can move forward as a country and move forward past this, and let's all continue to get behind the team. And I know it's not just England that have this issue with racism towards players. So fingers crossed we can get this all behind us and move on. England fans, once again, they're in the headlines. We thought we got away from the negative scenes of seeing England fans at major competitions. I don't know how much of it's been blown out the water with some of the fans, how they reacted. I saw quite a lot of videos on social media of quite good-natured fun. With fans, with, you know, just enjoying themselves being out and about. Let's be honest, we've been in lockdown for so long. Fans are going to get out, they're going to enjoy themselves, it's company. People go more for the company and the atmosphere than the game sometimes. It's just fantastic to be around people again. So But then you saw the ugly side of Wembley being broken into. And for me, it looked like a full capacity at Wembley when it was only supposed to be 60,000. And you've seen videos of them in, of inside the stadium breaking into the disabled entrances, and the police, there's no police presence around there. I don't know where the police were, but the stewards had were helpless. And then fights were just kicking off in the concourse because you've got people that have paid lots of money to get a final ticket and done it the legal way and behaving themselves with these drunk idiots who are storming Wembley to try and get in. And imagine getting up to your seat and someone sitting in it and that hasn't paid for it. I'd be absolutely fuming. And people have had drinks and everyone acts like an arse when they've had a drink. And It was really bad to see, and the fights you saw after the game on social media, the vandalism, it's just not on. There's no need for it. So once again, England fans, you've shed yourself in bad light. Once again, I will just say it's the minority. I think when James gets back on, he can speak more because he's travelled with England quite a lot, and it is just a minority. It's not the full England. I'm not going to tarnish everyone on the same brush. But that is a shame. It is a real shame that we have to end it, especially when we're trying to put a bid together to host the 2030 World Cup. How much of a dent could that be, saying, well, actually, you guys can't control a stadium. Look at the way other fans are being endangered with how fans are, hooligans are acting around the stadium. Why should FIFA give us the World Cup unless we bung them some money, because we all know what FIFA's like. But yeah, going on next. What next, really? Gareth Southgate's going to continue building this team. Like I said, I think we're pretty settled. I think goalkeeper, I think Pickford has been fantastic this season, and he's really established himself as the number one. And then the right back position, do you bring Trent Alexander-Arnold back in? I would probably not just... I probably wouldn't bring him back in. I like the balance we've got at the back there. Obviously, it's good to have that competition. So we'll see. We can see how he plays in the season, and obviously bring him in some squads and give him some minutes and see if he can play that Walker role. But I thought Kyle Walker was outstanding this competition. Stones and Maguire, clearly the best centre-halves England pairing they've got. I thought Harry Maguire is absolutely sensational considering coming from an injury, and his ball progression, his vision, his passing, he was absolutely fantastic, really. So yeah, those two have got to stay. And Luke Shaw, I had Ben Chilwell as my starting left back, but Luke Shaw, who's finished the season strongly of United, is England's number one left back now, without a shadow of a doubt. He was completely fantastic. Fingers crossed he can stay injury free and build on this for England. Like I said, the Rice and Phillips partnership, I would break it up. I would bring Jude Bellingham in there and try and progress. I think I don't really like Gary Lineker. I think he's a bit of a twat personally, but he said a very good thing about the next stage of this England. The next stage of this England team is learning how to really control the games. I think going forward, England have to find a way of being more attack-minded, braver in possession, throw more people forward. We have the forward talent to scare teams at present, and we seem too scared ourselves to release that talent. I think that tweet, like I said, I think Gallagher is a bit of a bellend, but that tweet sums it all up perfectly. I think that is what this England team needs to do. Let the handbrake go. Throw some bodies forward. Get the creative players gelling. Get them dancing, you know. And I think the way of unlocking that is through the centre of the park, by having someone like Jude Bellingham in there, and then maybe, like I said, getting rid of Mason Mount for a bit and let Phil Foden, let Grealish in that number 10 role. Raheem Sterling has just been absolutely sensational all tournament, and I think if England won, he would have been named player of the tournament. I thought he was incredible. He was absolutely superb, Raheem Sterling, and hats off to him. Bukayo Saka, like I said earlier, just love the kid to bits. So unlucky, but he's now staked himself a claim, and I think you'll see him in many more England squads. And Harry Kane finishing with 4 goals, could have been more, but he had lack of service. So I think Kane had a good competition, because in the service that he had, And the fact that he was coming so deep to collect the balls when you actually want him in the box, when he needs to be deeper. Not deeper, so he needs to be further up the pitch and not coming so deep. I know the goal against Denmark, he came deep and knocked it behind for Saka to then cross it in for the own goal. I get that, but personally, I still think he should be the one in the box. I don't think he should be so deep. Yeah, and we go on to Qatar and a few weeks off and then back to the Premier League. But Euro 2020, it's been a great fun competition. It's been, yeah, I've loved it. Every minute of it, I've actually loved the tournament. And, well, I've been speaking for half an hour now by myself. So I think I'll wrap this up, really. Yeah, so me and James will be back. I think James might come on. We'll just dissect it a little bit more in depth, really, of what happened here. So it's, yeah. Yeah, so that's all we've got time for right now. So I want to thank all listeners for downloading each week and telling all your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-point conversion, the instant reaction show, what will be returning when the Saints games return, the main Don't Patrol podcast, the Beers and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, and obviously this, the Premier League podcast. When the Premier League season starts going again, we'll probably do a preview show soon and look at the transfer window, because that's all going to explode now that the Euros is over and players will be released from international duty to then find new clubs if they want to move. Also, you've got the Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and like I said earlier, the Tigers Den with Scott. What I have much more appreciation of for Scott now that I know how hard it is to do a podcast by yourself. So follow each on Twitter at Don't Patrol Podcast, Don't Patrol UK, Beers and Beer Media, and Taking the Over, and also the Tigers Den at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to the old fashioned, go to don'tpatrolpodcast.com. From me, it's not coming home this year, but it might be coming home next year. Good night, folks.
Got to hold and give, but do it at